Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship. I didn't know who would be here today because I knew more of who wasn't going to be here today with travel and other situations. So I'm grateful that you are here. And we know that regardless of how many we are that gather, there's one person who has promised will always be here as we gather in His name to praise His name, to hear His word, to receive His sacrament. So we know that we are in the presence of our sweet Lord who descended to welcome us all into His presence. A couple announcements, and then we'll share a few prayer requests that we have. The women's group started this past week, and they had a good turnout because they ran out of books. How many were there? Does anyone have a number?
11
women were there. I have ordered more books. They should be in Monday or Tuesday. If you want a book, call me and I'll make sure you get that before Wednesday. It'll again be Wednesday for the men and women at Carolyn's house at 169. The men are in the back at the smokehouse. It's open to everyone. It's a great time of fellowship. Just so you'll know, if there's an emergency, I can respond to it. But I have a minister's meeting Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, when we'll be, and Thursday coming back, we'll be in Maryland. So if you need me, call me, but know I'm out. Also, if you'll notice, we had such a good time at the barbecue. We're going to have an ice cream social at the Kurtz's Pool Sunday, September 12th. We'll meet afterwards. We'll tell you the time, firm that up later, but it'll be Sunday afternoon or evening. We'll have an opportunity to be together. We did it last year at the Kinzers, and it was a great time. So start, a lot of you, men and women, made ice cream in advance and froze it. So we want our cups to overflow. So start making ice cream now, and we'll have a great time together. Also, on a more healthier note, Jen wanted me to let you know she brought some vegetables from the garden that are on the back table, so you can get some vegetables. And then final announcement is we're going to try to downsize our storage unit that we have had since we moved out of Thomas Jefferson Road. We just think we can reduce that. So we'll be taking some things into the dump. Some things will be given away. And if any of you know of anything in our storage unit that you're interested in, you can either talk to Kelly Kurtz or next Sunday, sometime after church, and you'll hear more on a robocall. Next Sunday, sometime after church, we're going to go up there and just do some sorting. And if you want to join us, you can do that as well. Anything else you want to say on that, Kelly?
No, that's it. Well, I think a couple of us are going to go up Friday.
Okay.
And just check things out
later today. Sounds great. All right. Any other announcements? Yes, sir.
I have an announcement of praise. Just want to say thanks. Kind of an update. My buddy Justin's at the Burger to me, presented that in motorcycle accident on Tuesday. He had to relieve a good portion of his skull. And basically the doctors told his wife that it was expected to make. And God had other plans. Tom was there Wednesday morning, read him some scripture, prayed with him for a while, prayed over him, and then the doctors came and did new scans.
Hey, Webb, some of them can't hear
you.
Talk loud.
Sorry. So the doctors came to do scans Wednesday morning, and the doctors were basically dumbfounded at what they saw. They didn't expect his brain to heal that quickly. They pretty much told his wife he was probably not going to make it through the night. So this happened Tuesday morning. Tom sent out a robocall Wednesday morning. The guy just had hundreds of people praying for him. And by Wednesday afternoon, he could nod his head to a question. He could squeeze your hand. By Thursday afternoon, they took him off the ventilator. He was breathing on his own. He started talking to people. Friday, they took the feeding tube out when he was eating and drinking. On Friday, they seen him. He knew who I was. He could open up his eyes a little bit. But the power of prayer. his amendments. The doctors literally told his wife, we just don't understand the amendments. He's got a head of an angel. And she said, her response was, my husband's a fighter. And he's got a lot of people in his family. So thank you for your courage.
Yeah, Justin is surrounded by a lot of people who love him and are praying for him. So keep Justin and his wife, Sherry, in our prayers. And thanks for the update. I've got a couple prayer requests. We want to continue to keep Dave Kinzer in our prayers. He had some difficulty in getting the bleeding under control, but he's fine. And he's back to sending out his typical emails that have a sort of a political bent. So he's back to his normal self. So keep David in prayer there, home and recovering, and just keep him in prayer. Also, we want to keep Cindy in our prayers, Cindy Williams, John and Trisha's daughter, with pneumonia. Any update either one of you would like to share?
She just has tests scheduled. She's in the cardiac unit.
She's in the cardiac unit. And she's having some tests run. So let's keep Cindy in our prayers and our family as well. Any other prayer requests? David?
Yeah, last Monday when I got to work, discovered that Canada Electric had been over there on Saturday to do some electrical work, and he was on our roof at the Sandbrough Auto Center. He made a misfortunate step onto a light panel and fell through. And the only thing that kept him from hitting the concrete floor was our shop manager, Angie, that happened to park a Colorado there. And he fell on the roof of the Colorado, broke his thumb. He broke two ribs, and just prayers that he'll heal up fast. And God bless that the truck was there. It saved his life, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, let's keep David in our prayers. Thank you. Sarah, I got your message last night, too late to call you back, and just said you had a prayer request. Do you want to leave it at that, or would you like to expound on it?
I can expound. My friend Stacy, her daughter Lexi, has a rare form of cancer, and it has spread everywhere. She starts another round of radiation this Wednesday. She's 10 years old.
Oh,
and hospice is now involved.
Is she in Maryland?
She's in Maryland, yes.
Please, not only to David, please, and we print these prayer lists not just to take up space, but I hope you're using this in your daily devotions. Because as we know, as we've tested, as Justin and Sherry would be the first to say, there is true power in prayer. So I hope we're daily lifting these prayer requests up. So let's keep Stacy in our prayers. Any others?
It's her daughter, Lexia.
Lexia. Okay. Lexia. Thank you. 10 years old. Any others? Yes, sir.
Safe travels for Carrie, and then we're all on the way back from North Carolina.
Okay. Got a bunch traveling, so let's keep Carrie and those traveling in our prayers. Any others? Yes, ma'am.
The family of Mrs. Chuckwood, I can't remember her name, but that was her husband's name. Her daughter was my childhood best friend. She passed away last night, and she's a Christian, so we know where she is.
So your friend's mother passed away.
Uh-huh. Mrs. Wood passed away.
All right. Thank you. I would have an unspoken prayer request. I have a good friend, and she's just having some life difficulties and emotional difficulties, and just the Lord knows who it is. So I'd ask you to keep her in prayer that healing and health, peace of the Lord will come into that situation. Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the beauty of this day. We have had some very beautiful days, and the beauty of the day has often been made bearable by something as simple and as mechanical as air conditioning. It reminds us, our Father, that we are incredibly blessed, that you care for every aspect of our lives, even to that which seems so insignificant as the numbering of our hair. But you are that attuned and attentive and present with us. Our greatest blessing is that all of that is made possible through your becoming one of us, incarnated in Christ Jesus. We thank you for a love that manifests itself in a willingness to be humiliated, to be emptied, so that through you we could all be filled with life, and that abundantly, life and that eternally. We thank you for your blessings. We must always begin our discourse with you by recognizing your beauty and grandeur, recognizing the multiple blessings we have, and thanking you. May we walk in that deep gratitude of knowing that all good gifts come from the Father. And we pray now, as your children, that you will continue to make those good gifts known in all of these situations. We thank you and praise you for the recovery that Justin has experienced. We just pray that you'll continue to be with that path for him, with his wife Sherry, with all the family and friends. He's surrounded by those that care and love, and may you continue to bless him. We pray that you'd be with David Kinzer as he's recovering. We pray that you'd be with David Canada. And we thank you that for not only for David, but for all of us who have situations that happen that could have been far worse. We pray that you would be with his pain and his recovery. We pray that you would be with Cindy. We pray that they will be able to get on top of the pneumonia, and that through the testing that will be done, that they'll be an easily treated cause of that which she's experiencing. Bring health to her, comfort her, we pray, be with her parents and family. We pray that you would be with Sarah's friend Stacy and her daughter Alexia. Breaks our heart when we hear of anyone struggling with diseases in life, especially one so young. We just pray that you'll draw close, bring encouragement where encouragement seems irrational. Bring that, because we know and believe your promise that you will give a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that doesn't make sense, a peace that's far deeper than that because it comes from Christ Jesus himself. We pray that you would be with the family of Chuck Woods, his wife. Be with Chuck, be with the children, be with family and friends. Comfort them. Thank you for their confidence and hope and knowing what we're going to be talking about today, the blessed communion of the saints. And we pray, finally, that you would be with all those that are traveling. May they have safety, protect them, and uphold them. And I pray for my friend and for many others that just are dealing with interior issues. Sometimes our thinking and our emotions can be the most difficult task we deal with. Bring peace, settle emotions, comfort her family, bring peace to them as well. We look to you as our only source of all good, and we trust you that you will deliver through Christ Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. If you'll look with me to the opening of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the will of the Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
We'll use a portion as we began last week in Psalm 34, we continue in verse 12, calling each responsibly. Who among you loves life and desires long life to enjoy prosperity?
Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from lying words.
Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry.
The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to root out the remembrance of them from the earth.
The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them, and delivers them from all their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and will save those whose spirits are crushed.
Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all.
He will keep safe all his bones. Not one of them shall be broken.
Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished.
The Lord ransoms the life of his servants, and none will be punished who trust in him.
Thank you.
Our first reading is from Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 through 2a and 14 through 18. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God."
Seek and to save those who were lost. And we thank you that when you ascended, you took a heavenly host with you. And we look forward to that day where our faith will be made sight, and we will, with that beautiful Savior on the white horse, ascend. As he descended, so we will ascend forever and ever. New heaven and new earth. And at the end of the day, we'll praise you, for you have done it all. We thank you for your complete salvation, for your promise that is absolutely solid. And for your word, eternally settled in the heavens, that declares us your children in Christ Jesus. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. holy name. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 6, verses 51 through 69. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying, who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said this, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed, and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, thank you for this day, for an opportunity to look in your word. May your spirit open our hearts and our minds that we may be receptive to your word, and may my words be directed by the Spirit to point only to you. In your name we pray. Amen. I remember as a boy of about 8 years old, sitting watching my dad watching a football game. And I remember I was taken, and, in all fairness, I didn't remember I was eight, but I remember the event, so I Googled it and I was eight when this commercial came on. And I was so taken by a combination that happened. I'm watching this commercial, and you may remember it came out in 1970. And you see this raging storm in the background, threatening waves and lightning and wind. But in the front, you see this very calm, bearded sailor in his yellow slickers, absolutely calm. And he's got a can of Schlitz. And he's drinking the Schlitz like he has no care in the world. And it then had that saying, you only go around once in life. You remember the rest? Grab all the gusto you can. And I looked over and lo and behold, my dad is drinking a Schlitz. And I'm thinking, life is good. A hero there, a hero here. One day I'll be able to grow up and be just as cool as a cucumber and drink Schlitz beer. Fate would have it that I think they went out of business. We like that ad. And I'm going to suggest to you, I think that ad or the slogan on that ad is half true. We should, as that movie Dead Poets Society would remind us, we should carpe diem.
We should understand that, not that this is the beginning of the rest of our life, it's far more realistic for the urgency to say this may be the last day of our life. And fill it with those things that you value, those things that bring joy. But the first part of that slogan is true in one way, but not in what it applies. You only go around once in life. Now, I agree it's true that we're not reincarnated. We get one stint on this terrestrial ball. But the implication that you better grab all your gusto now because this is all we have is not the truth of the gospel. And it's not a comforting thought, and it produces so much anxiety. When we think all we have is what we can see. Now, Christians know this isn't true. We talk about heaven, we talk about eternal life, we talk about a living forever. But if we are honest, we talk that game better than sometimes we live. In the living of life, we may say we know this isn't all there is, but sometimes we live like we think this is all we have. So we use a phrase that is really not a good phrase, and I have to give credit where credit is due. My cousin said this at my other cousin, his brother's funeral, and he's right. And I don't know if I ever thought about it that way until David said it. We talk about we lost Sally. We don't lose people in death. We don't lose people. We say to people, sorry for your loss. We don't lose people. Our lives are not just like a set of keys that we lose or misplace, and now somehow they're gone. Now, we know what people mean when they say this, but if we really, really focus on it, I want to press us. I don't need to change if you say that all the time, sorry for your loss. That's fine. I want us, though, to understand that beyond that or behind that is a far deeper reality and truth, and it's far more comforting, and it's that phrase, I believe in the communion of the saints. Now, sometimes we read that and we think that's just a redundancy. You know, we start the third article, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. And sometimes we mistakenly, in our mind, put a colon after the Catholic Church, and we just think that that's saying the same thing. The Catholic Church, and when we say Catholic, we just mean the Church of Jesus Christ, preaching word and sacrament around the world, that universal Christian church. But when we say that, it's not equated with the communion of saints. The communion of saints includes the church. It includes this congregation, but it's far larger than that. And that's our comfort. It's deeper. It's that radical life, that eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ with Him and with each other. We read in 2 Peter that Peter tells us in verse 4 that we are, and I want you to catch this, and it uses the same word that we use in communion. It uses the same word that we read about in the Gospels today and the lessons when we partner or partake. It says that we are partakers, sharers. We are in communion with the divine nature. Did you wake up this morning and look in the mirror and go, man, that's divine? Well, I hope you didn't. But I hope you understand that we're not just here for this short little period. We believe in the communion of the saints because we are in the one who's eternal. Now, Christian life is not just a set of teachings that we believe or a set of behaviors that we follow. They're important, but they're the fruit of the tree. We're not a Christian because we believe certain things or do certain things. We are Christians. We are a family. We're part of the communion of saints because we are in Christ Jesus. And out of that being in him, the root, come those other fruits that we do need to see. Proper beliefs and a striving toward behavior. But in other words, the communion of saints says we share the divine nature. In other words, and I think this is such a blessed truth, what happens to Jesus Christ happens to you. Isn't that a beautiful truth? What happens to Jesus Christ happens to you. Paul tells us at the end of Romans 8, surely death cannot separate us. And he goes through a long list of things that will never be able to separate us. But surely death cannot separate us from the love of God that is where? In Christ Jesus. If I took my Bible, this is a crude analogy, but it may help. Years ago, it helped me. If I took my Bible and I put this bulletin insert in my Bible, where will that bulletin insert go? Wherever the Bible goes, right? You are in Christ Jesus. What happens to Christ happens to us. The theological way of talking about that is identification. He came, left the glories of divinity. He came, humbled himself. You know, I hate to pop some people's bubble, but it was a real step down for God to become man. That was not a choice job. This isn't the way it happens, but to get the point across, it's almost like the members of the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity, drew straws and Jesus lost. Now, that's not theologically true, but I want you to get the point I'm making. It was a step down. He humiliated himself for no other reason than out of love to identify with us and redeem us. And then because of his identification with us, we now identify with him. So what happens to him happens to us. So let me ask you a question. Did Jesus Christ lose his life? No. Are you going to lose your life? No. This is not all we have. And when we take our final breath on this globe, we're not losing anything. Paul says it's gain. We're not losing a thing. Jesus Christ didn't lose his life. He died, and in his death, resurrected life came out. And what, remember what I said? What happens to Jesus Christ happens to those who are in Jesus Christ. See, we don't think about death in the way that we should, because we have to battle against our eyes. And it looks like we lose something. It seems to us in what we see that somebody came to work every day and now they don't. So we're constantly having this wrestling match between what we see and what we hear of the Word. We say sometimes that somebody would go away. You know, when you die, you don't go away. You go there. Paul says in Corinthians, to be absent with the body or from the body is to be present with the Lord. And in our passage that Lisa read today, Paul says that the days are evil. In other words, they're short. And therefore, you better redeem the time. You better make it that you believe the one that you're in. We're not lost. We're not going away. The communion of saints means that we are in Christ, both on this side of the grave and on that side of the grave. I say often at funerals that relationships move from, that death doesn't end a relationship. It simply moves it from a relationship of sight where you are in relationship because you see them, to a far deeper level of intimacy, a relationship of knowing, of true intimacy. Let me give you another crude example. B and David Gardner are members of this congregation, are they not? They're active, vibrant, important, loved members of the congregation who love us and we love them. We just are one with them in Christ Jesus. But they're not here, are they? They're not here. We don't see them. They're somewhere up enjoying humidity-free days in Wisconsin. They're not in our sight, but they still exist. Now, I'm not saying that going to heaven is like going to Wisconsin. But I am saying that we live, we are in Christ. That doesn't end when this earthly life is over. See, our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price. We are His. And the beautiful thing about saying that the Gardeners are members of this church, even though we haven't seen them for a while, even though we won't see them for a while, even though they're not in our presence, we know they're members of our church. Brothers and sisters, you know what that means? Roy Weingartner is still a member of this congregation. Your loved one, my loved one, we didn't lose them. They didn't go away. They're there. They're in Him. I'm in Him. You're in Him. And they are in Him far more deeply than we can even think or imagine now, because they're unencumbered with all the stuff we struggle with. They're still a part of our church. That's a communion of saints. That it doesn't end at death. Death is not that powerful. It's an enemy, but it's a defeated enemy. And if you were a sovereign and you defeated your enemies, what do the enemies do once they're defeated? Everything the sovereign tells them to do. And death is a defeated enemy. Physical death is a defeated enemy, which simply moves one who's in Christ, in the church militant, to what we call the church victorious, but the church nonetheless. And because of that, we can have two real sweet confidences. The first confidence we have is we can have confidence in facing death. Facing death. The psalmist in Psalm 116 says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of His beloved. Again, that's not just something sweet to read at funerals or a nice little motto. It speaks to that essential truth that any parent who's had a child return home understands that thought. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the coming home of one of His beloved. We read sang a hymn this morning that I enjoyed singing the hymns, because I have to say all I really knew about it was the chorus, and it was used when the New Orleans Saints came into the stadium. So I appreciate Mona bringing that to see that it really had a Christian message. There's another hymn I'd like to read for you, and you know the words, but it's far different in the original form than the way several folks up until even as late as the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band changed it. And it is that song, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" You know that song? But if you listen to the phrases now, it almost sounds, yes, the circle will be broken. It's very depressing the way it's said now. You know, Undertaker, please drive slow. The body you're carrying, oh Lord, I hate to see her go. Implying she's gone. And so it's been twisted that really that rhetorical question in the modern versions Will the circle be unbroken? Obviously, by the sadness of the mourner, you'd have to say, yes, it will be broken. But the woman that wrote it, Ader Habersham, in 1907, was far more biblically literate than the adapters. And she understood it was a rhetorical question, but she was confident that the answer was, will the circle be unbroken? And the answer is, yes, it will remain intact. Death cannot break that circle of love. Let me read you the verses. There are loved ones in the glory whose dear forms you often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in their bliss? In the joyous days of childhood, oft they told of wondrous love, pointed to the dying Savior. Now they dwell with them above. You remember songs of heaven which you sang with childish voice. Do you love the hymns that taught you, or are songs of earth your choice? You can picture happy gatherings round the fireside long ago, and you think of tearful partings when they left you here below. But one by one, as their seats were empty, one by one, it seems they went away. But the family will never be parted. It will be complete one day. Brothers and sisters, we believe in the communion of the saints, and that leads us to the confidence of knowing that we face death, and it's not the end of the road. It's not the last opportunity we have to grab gusto. It's simply a step into, or may I say, a step up into knowing Jesus Christ and Him alone. But the second thing I would say is that when we believe in the communion of saints, it not only gives us confidence in death, it gives us confidence in worship. Because not only are the gardeners and Roy Weinbarger and all those others that I can look around and tell, not only are they still members of this congregation, they're still in the body of Christ. They join with us in worship. They come and are here with the heavenly host. These aren't good concepts. This is reality. I read something, and I read it again last night out loud to share it. Because it's always a danger when you read to people, because they might go to sleep. She said that this was worth reading and that you wouldn't go to sleep. Don't prove her wrong. This is really good. And if you get this story, it moved me. And I think you'll understand why believing in the communion of the saints may be the sweetest phrase, the most comforting phrase in the Apostles' Creed. It's called How a Small Country Congregation Became a Mega Church Overnight. You ready to listen with attention? All right. This is a story of how a small country church astounded the experts on church growth by becoming a mega church overnight without even trying. The gravel parking lot around St. John's began to fill early that morning. The shadow from the steeple cast the image of a cross on the western side of the church. Families from miles around climbed out of Fords and Chevrolets to make their way into the sanctuary. The pastor stood by the front door to greet folks. He asked about Aunt Susan's broken hips, the Reynolds' new horse, and how the football game turned out in Sunray the other night. The man of God who shepherded this flock wasn't much to look at. He had a bit of a gut, and he laughed too often and too loud, especially at his own corny jokes. But they loved the man. He had baptized their children, buried their grandparents, and even preached a decent sermon every now and then. By the time worship was ready to begin, it still hadn't happened. That shocking influx of worshipers I spoke of. In fact, when worship began, it looked as ordinary could be. The Kirkpatricks with their five children squeezed into the next to last pew. The spinster organist, Ms. Schultz, played softly and hit, well, almost every note. Hymnals were open to the page where the service would soon begin. At 10:30 sharp, Pastor Baker walked up front and spoke the same words he did at the start of every Sunday service, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the congregation responded with a hearty Amen. Then, without any warning, it happened. The floodgates opened. Worshippers streamed in. Before the congregation had finished saying Amen, this rural Texas mini church was transformed into the mega of mega churches. Here's how it all went down. Through the stained glass windows and the steeply pitched roof, seraphim swooped down from the heavenly perches. Each sported six wings. With two they covered their face, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And around the sanctuary they chanted one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The foundations of St. John's Church quaked at the sound of their voices. The whole church swam with the smoke of his holiness and incense. But that was only the beginning. Cherubim winged their way down from the heavenly city. Not the cute, chubby, precious moments angels, but manly warriors who stationed themselves like sentinels around the sanctuary. They belted out the words to the hymns, added their amens to the divine words and preaching that day. But the angels were not alone. With them came saints innumerable, men and women who had fought the good fight, finished the race, and gone on to glory. But here they were, back at St. John's on the Lord's Day. They added their voices to the earthly choir, farmers and ranchers and coaches and teachers, who still trod the pathway toward the heavenly Jerusalem. The pews were packed, standing room only in the aisles. Some perched on the rafters and peered down with serene gazes upon the altar. There, wonders of wonders, was a throne. And on that throne stood a lamb, slain, yet alive, sacrificed, but resurrected. Every face of every worshiper, angelic and human, earthly and heavenly, was fixated upon his face. They looked upon the countenance of the merciful Almighty. With angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, the people of St. John's Church lauded and glorified the name of that Lamb, their Lord Jesus Christ, that day. Sacred songs shook the building as the choirs wed their voices. The Lord's Supper was also a reunion meal. The folks on earth and the saints in heaven dined on the feast of feasts and the drink that slakes their deepest thirst. It was a day to remember and a day that would be repeated every Sunday. That following Sunday it would happen again and then again. This tiny church would bulge at the seams from worshipers from realms seen and unseen, all mixed together as one in the adoration of the Lamb whose kingdom is without end. That's how a small congregation became a mega church overnight without even trying. They gathered around the word of Jesus, ate his meal, sang his songs, and Jesus and everybody with him, along with all of heaven, showed up for the ride. Amen. I believe in the communion of the saints. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is a good and joyful thing to give our thanks to you, faithful God, because you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses who have followed the path of your promises. By faith, your people crossed the Red Sea when you brought them out of slavery. By faith, your Son endured the cross, disregarding its shame. By faith, your apostles endured chains and imprisonment, testifying to the gospel. By faith, your martyrs suffered mockery and death for your glory alone. And so, with this cloud of witnesses from every age and time, we praise you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as we join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Righteous God, whose Son is a pioneer and perfecter of our faith, make your church a vineyard of justice and peace and truth. Nourish your people with the fruit of the vine and sanctify us with your Holy Spirit, that we may bring forth by your power the perfect fruit of your peaceable kingdom. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and having given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." If you'll allow me to add, brothers and sisters, you're in Christ when we say this. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will rise again.
Redeeming God, whose Son, for the sake of heavenly joy, won our salvation, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race set before us. Liberate your people in the midst of every sorrow, that they may hold fast to your unfailing mercy. Raise up into your unending glory every soul weighed heavy with struggle. Give your heart, your children a heart to see through every trial of life to a deeper joy that is possible only in you. Grant us wisdom in the midst of conflict to discern your ways of peace. Bring us all to the day when we are made perfect in your love and rejoice in your promises fulfilled, beholding Christ our Lord seated at your right hand on high, in the power of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and always.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A good practice, brothers and sisters, as you approach the table, as you hear of all of most sermons and most scriptures, when we say you, it's plural. When I say this is for you, it's not you alone. It's you in Christ with the entirety of the heavenly host. God's grace extended as far as his love did. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall never die, but have life everlasting. I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive one body, one blood, and do so in remembrance of him, in remembrance of his body, and in full confidence that through the power of the Holy Spirit and the promise of God, you are in that blessed body
of Christ Jesus. Come and receive. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the goodness of providing a table for us. Thank you for your reminder through the prompting of the Holy Spirit that when we define us, may we truly believe in the communion of all the saints. And may we take great joy in that nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus throughout all eternity. Amen. Please stand and we'll sing the final hymn. Service is over. Go in peace to serve and love the Lord.